Our God is a great God, amen? You know, I have to tell you this morning, there was a tradesman, a painter named Jock, who was very interested in making a penny wherever he could, and so he would often thin down his paint just a bit, you know, to make it go just a wee bit further. And as it happened, he was getting away with this for quite some time until the Baptist Church decided to do a big restoration, and Jock put in his bid, and because his price was so low, he got the job, and so he began erecting the trestles, began setting up the planks, and yes, I'm sad to say, thinning that paint down with turpentine. Well, Jock got busy, and he was up on the scaffolding just painting away, the job nearly completed, when suddenly there was a horrendous clap of thunder. The sky opened up, the rain poured down, washing the thin paint off the church and knocking poor Jock to the ground in the process. And he landed on the lawn among the gravestones. He was surrounded by telltale puddles of thinned and useless paint. But Jock, he was no fool, I'll give him that. He knew this was divine judgment from the Lord up above. So he got down on his knees and he cried out, "Oh God, forgive me, forgive me. What should I do?" And a loud clap of thunder came and a voice from heaven shouted, "Repaint, repaint, and thin no more." Let me ask you to take your Bibles this morning and open them up to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 24, 27, we'll be reading chapter 7, verse 24, and we'll read down through verse 27 this morning, and if you can, rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. If you're there, say amen. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, we just thank you again for this word that you have given unto us, for the opportunity to walk into your house. And Lord, each and every one of us who are present here and also present on the live stream today, Father, we give thanks unto you for giving us the health and the strength to be able to get up and to worship with you this morning and to hear your word spoken unto us. Lord, we come with an open heart this morning. Father, we ask that you would do the work that only you can do in the depths of our soul. Lord, we know a day is coming when you shall call each and every one of us to an account. And on that day, Father, help us to have built our house on the right kind of foundation. Help us to have built on the rock that is Jesus Christ, looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith, both now and forever. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Now our text this morning, it points to the fact that we can build our lives in one of two ways. One way is to build in a way that lasts. The other is to build in a way that it's not going to last. And God has spoken to us about two kinds of listeners. There's the transitional listener and the transformational listener. And I sure hope you listen transformationally. That is, your heart is set on hearing what God has to say. And so you kind of tuned everything else out because you're focused on what God wants to share with you this morning. And so how do we listen transformationally? Well, you have your Bible open. I hope you're taking notes, writing down those things that the Spirit's going to touch your heart with. And God has also shown us that there are two kinds of faith. One's authentic and the other's false. And you know, there's two views in this world. There's God's view and there's man's view. And I'll tell you, God's view is correct and everybody else's view is wrong. Say amen. You know I said that right. And so friends, I sure hope that you are resting on an authentic faith, one that is built and one that has a foundation right here in the Word of God. Today our Lord wants to teach us about the two kinds of lives that we can build, and I hope we can all learn from Jock this morning that when you try to cut corners, it's going to bring you nothing but heartache. There are no shortcuts. I'm going to say that again. There are no shortcuts when it comes to building the depth of character we all need to help us withstand the storms of life. And that's why we find God speaking to us today on painting for us on the canvas of His Word the picture for us of two men and two houses. These homes represent for us the two kinds of life we can choose to build. One built on the rock. The other is built on sinking sand. I want you to note that both are buffeted by the wind and they're both pelted by the rain. But note the house that built upon the rock stands while the one built upon the sand collapses. Family and friends, if you've lived your life for any length of time, you know by now that you're going to face some storms in this life. The reason for it, Job, the oldest book in the Bible, Job knew something about this, and so this is what Job put down: yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And I'm certain you all know you don't have to look for trouble. Trouble will find you, amen? And so knowing the truth of this all too well, Job gave us these words of advice, Job 5:8, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. And I pray that's why you've come to church this morning, because you want to seek unto God, and unto God you want to commit your cause, your life. Now friend, if you haven't faced any storms in this life yet, here's the good news. You will. You can count on this. The trials and struggles of life, those things we call storms, will find each one of us eventually. That's why our Lord is seeking to teach us today three things each of us must do if we are to build a life that is going to last. And the first thing we must do is build our lives on the reality of Jesus Christ. Building our lives on the rock is absolutely essential both now and forever if we're to build a life that lasts. And so we need to be thinking about how do we do that? How do we begin to build a life that lasts? And we begin by laying the foundation stone in our heart of the reality of Jesus Christ. I want you to note the word therefore that he begins with. Jesus used to begin his illustration of the man who built his life on the rock. The word signals for us a summation of all that Jesus has said in Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 to 23. The point that he has just made, and the key point that Jesus makes, is that there are going to be people who are going to assume that past actions alone will be sufficient for entry into heaven. I want you to know very carefully what our Lord says here in Matthew 7 and 22. If you follow along, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And I want you to note that the many Jesus is speaking about, they're pointing to something that they did in the past. Past actions. But to build means there is the laying of a foundational stone followed by continual work. And one cannot be building their life on the rock that is Jesus Christ if they're not willing to, if they stop working, if they stop following, if they stop coming to church, if they stop reading the Bible, if they stop praying, if they stop believing. Paul wrote to encourage the Philippian believers in us today to continue to build their lives, our lives, on the reality of Jesus Christ. That's why he wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What are we to do according to Philippians 2 and 12? We are to work out our faith. In other words, to continue to build our lives on the rock that is Jesus Christ. I want you to allow me to draw your attention here back to what our Lord said in Matthew 7 and 22. He said there are going to be many who are going to point to some past actions. And whenever someone begins to point to some past action, it's because they've stopped acting. And because we're speaking of building here today, our Lord's point is they stopped building their lives on the rock that is Jesus Christ. I can't tell you the number of times I've asked Christian people, if you were to pass tonight and God was to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? How many times people have pointed to something they done a long time ago. See, they're no longer in the church. They're no longer serving the church. They're just looking at the past. They've stopped acting. They've stopped living. They've stopped believing like a Christian should believe. That makes sense to everybody? Amen? And our Lord's point here is that they've just plain stopped. How many people do you know who have quit on God? What happens when someone stops building on the rock? Jesus tells us what happens. That's why I love His word. He just spells it out plain. Look with me in your Bible. You've got it up in verse 23. They're pointing to past actions in verse 22. This is what Jesus says to them in verse 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And our Lord's choice of words here is very interesting, because to know someone in a biblical sense may suggest an intimacy that's akin to marriage. Family and friends, would you agree with me that we're living in a celebrity-crazed world today? I mean, people go nuts over their favorite stars, what they wear, what they say, what they do, and they mimic them quite often. And they claim to know them, don't they? Well, let's be honest here. A person may know a lot of superficial things about their so-called star, but if that star hasn't got a clue about who you are, think for a moment about the most famous person you know. If your name was mentioned to them, would they claim to know you? I seriously doubt it. And the point that Jesus is making here is that there are going to be many who claim to know Him, just like people claim to know their favorite celebrities today. And Jesus is saying about the many that He doesn't know them. How's that possible? It's because there are many who claim to know Jesus Christ today like they claim to know their favorite celebrity. It's just in a superficial and an artificial way. They know certain things about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus simply because they've never spent any time with Jesus. They don't know Him. As a result, they have no depth to their faith because they have no faith. That's what Jesus is saying here. All they possess is a head knowledge of things about Jesus, things about the Christian faith, just like they know of their celebrity, but they don't know of their celebrity. Likewise, they don't know about Jesus. And here's the reason they don't know about Jesus is because they choose not to know about Jesus. They don't want to make the commitment to get to know Jesus Christ. They don't want to take the time to get to know Jesus Christ. Simply knowing Jesus' name without committing to a deep personal relationship with Him doesn't mean He knows you. And the many Jesus speaks of here who weren't building their life upon the rock were doing so because they wouldn't commit to getting to really know Jesus Christ. They would not commit to developing an intimate relationship with Him. Listen, a person whose life displays the reality of Jesus, is the person who continually seeks to know more of Jesus so they can grow in Jesus. And because of that, they are growing in their faith. It's sort of like what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory both now and forever. And I'd like to ask you this question: are you growing in your faith? Or are you always pointing back to something you did in the past? Well, I prayed that prayer back then. I did this back then. I used to serve back then. I used to do all those things back then. But everything that you can point to is always something you did in the past, simply because you've stopped building today. You're no longer growing. You've become stagnant. You're like a pond. You're just covered over with scum. That's what happens when we stop growing. There's no fresh water going in. There's no freshness in your spiritual life. Do you realize that many churches today are filled with dead people? Here's what I mean. They come, well, we got to go to church again. I'll just go in, take my place in the same old pew, sing the same old songs, listen to the same old preacher, blah, blah, blah. Well, wasn't church good? Yeah, didn't get much out of it today. Well, you didn't get much out of it because you didn't put nothing into it. Amen? You're not going to grow that way. And so that's what God is saying to us. Their faith, and I pray it's your faith, is being worked out just like Paul encouraged the Philippian believers to do. Theirs is a deep abiding relationship in Jesus, because they continue to build on the reality that is Jesus Christ. That's why they're able to stand the storms of life. Man, when the storms come, you know, that's when the pressures of life come and we're squeezed, what comes out? That's what we believe. That's what's in our heart. And so if Jesus doesn't come flowing out when the pressures of life come, friend, it's a good reality check that maybe Jesus really isn't deep down in your heart like you claim. Maybe you need to start growing in your relationship with Him. Are you building your life on the reality that is Jesus Christ? Heaven is a place for those who want to know Jesus. And remember, when the Bible uses the word know, it refers to an intimacy that's akin to marriage, where a husband and wife spend years together building a life together based on time spent together. And let me tell you something, in 43 years of marriage, I know my wife. Now, no, I didn't say I understood everything about my wife, but I do know her. And I'm certain if you asked her, she'd say the same about me. She knows me, but there are times when she don't understand me. Say amen. But building takes time, doesn't it? You can't build anything that lasts quickly, though many try. And so there are no shortcuts to building a life that lasts. No shortcuts. That's why to build correctly, we must build upon the foundation stone of the reality of Jesus Christ. It's the only way that we can say that we know Him and be assured that He knows us. Family and friends, is the reality of this basic truth. It's the reality of this basic truth that proves whether we're building our lives on the rock that is Jesus Christ. But there's also something else here. And the second building block we need to build upon is the stability in Jesus Christ. If the first building block is to build a life that lasts, is knowing the reality of Jesus, then the second building block is relying on the stability that is in Jesus. John wrote this in 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. What this literally means is that a real confessing Christian does not sin. But of course, we know we all sin. And we all know other believers who sin. Now, I wish I wouldn't sin. And I'm quite certain that you wish you wouldn't sin. I know Paul wished he wouldn't sin. And Paul wrote about the struggle that all of us face. This is what he said in Romans 7:19-20. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now Paul didn't say he continued to practice sin and live his life as a sinner, and he couldn't. Nor can we continue to live in sin and practice the life of sin, do those sinful actions, if we truly know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. It's impossible for us to go on living according to the old nature, the old man, if we've been truly born again. And yet we all struggle with that old nature from time to time, but we don't live according to it. That's why the person who says they know Jesus, yet they continue to live like this world, is only fooling themselves. Because God states quite clearly in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Now, some fool once said that when we are saved, Jesus fixes it, not so that we cannot sin, but so that we can't enjoy it anymore. I want you to know there's not an ounce of truth in that statement, because we wouldn't sin if sin wasn't appealing. Amen? And we all know those times that tempt us. We all know those things that tempt us. We all know those times that we have failed. What caused the failure was the appealing nature of sin. If sin appeared ugly and sin appeared disgusting, there wouldn't be a single one of us in here who would engage in it. But if a person has really met the risen Lord and come to know Him as Savior, there is a discomfort that takes place when we sin. That discomfort is caused by the conviction and the knowledge that what we did was wrong. Wrong according to who? Wrong according to the Word of God. Listen, don't go running to your friends to find out what's right and what's wrong, because they don't know, but God knows. His Word is truth. And so we need to base our knowledge and our actions upon what God has said in His Word, not what some man says. Friends, you want to know the truth of life, you get in here and you find it. You'll discover it. And when God says it's wrong, guess what? It's wrong. If God says it's right, guess what? It's right. And so that's all we need to know. And when you sin, if you've truly been born again, there's a discomfort. You know, you feel shame. You might be in church and, you know, you've been involved in something you ought not to have been involved in. And darn it, didn't that preacher just preach on that thing? And then you come out of church and you say, well, preacher, you stepped on my toes this morning. No, the preacher didn't step on your toes. The Holy Spirit of God trying to get a hold of your heart. That's what's happening. You need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you. But see, if you can go on living life, never feeling any shame, never feeling any guilt, never ever feeling any of that, friend, it's a good indication that your heart's not right with the Lord. See, it's real easy to see if we're building our lives on the stability of Jesus. All we have to do is examine our lives from the point that we claim we were saved. Have things changed? Can you point to a past behavior that you're no longer engaged in? Why is it that you're no longer engaged in that past behavior? It's because the Holy Spirit convicted your heart that it was wrong and you didn't need to take any part of it. Wasn't to be a part of your life. A behavior that was once displeasing to the Lord, you therefore have given it up. If you have those kinds of mile markers, so to speak, you can look back and you can see the progression of the time since you claimed to know Jesus and how things have changed. You can look up to heaven and shout, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for leading me out of sin. Thank you, Jesus, that those old behaviors are no longer a part of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for making me new in Christ. Amen. See, it's impossible to claim to know Jesus if we continue to live as if we don't know Jesus. And again, Jesus said, many are living that way. And there is a day coming when you're going to meet Jesus face to face. I don't know when that day will be for you. All we know is what the Bible says. There's a day appointed unto man, once to die, and then the judgment. One day you're going to stand before God.
One day you're going to give an accounting of your life. Wise is the person who asks themselves, does the way I'm living testify to the truth that I am building my life on the reality and the stability that is found in Jesus Christ? One last building block we're to be building our lives upon, and that is the eternity in Jesus Christ. Should the Lord tarry, every one of us will experience the death of our physical bodies, and we all have those loved ones who've already gone home to glory already. Therefore, we know this truth. Life is brief. Amen. Scripture describes life as little more than a vapor, meaning that we are going to spend far more time in eternity than we ever are here on this earth. That's why in our text, Jesus warns against the foolishness of building for the here and now with little thought of the hereafter. Our world, not the planet, but the people, have become quite adept at living for the here and now. This truth prompted our Lord to ask a question in Mark 8:36, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? How would you answer that? Are you living for eternity? Is there evidence you are building your life upon the rock that is Jesus Christ? When the storms of life come, and come they will you be able to stand firm? Have you made a commitment to build your life on the rock of God's Word? And our text again is clear that there are going to be many who will try to do it in a superficial and an artificial way to their own demise. Family and friends, it's one thing I know. The road of your life may lead you down many paths. But remember this. There are no cutting corners when it comes to building a life that lasts. If you're going to build a life that lasts, it lasts for eternity. You're going to have to build your life on the reality of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to build your life on the stability of Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to build your life on the eternity of Jesus Christ. I just like to ask you a question to think about. It's not so that I might know. It's so that you might know. Are you building your life in that way? Is there evidence that testifies if God was to call you to account today, you would know for certain, I'm home in glory land with Jesus because that's how I've been living. God forbid that you would have to say to the Lord, well, Lord, don't you done remember when I used to do this? Don't you done remember, Lord, when I used to do that? Can you imagine the horror that you will feel in that moment if Jesus were to say to you, because you're pointing at past actions, away from me, I never knew you. Oh, the awful horror of that. Now, I know what you want to hear. You want to hear what I want to hear, don't you? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Well, I can tell you this, because this thing I know. If you want to hear those words, you better build on the reality, the stability, and the eternity that is found in Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word unto us this morning. We thank you for the gracious provision that you have provided with us through your word, that we can know the truth. And as Jesus said, the truth can set us free. Lord, I pray that in this moment before this final song is sung, that each and every one of us would take an opportunity to allow your Spirit to search our hearts. Lord, have we really prayed to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? And am I really living like I know Jesus? Am I growing in my relationship with Jesus? Lord, without a doubt, because your word spoke to us last week about wheat and tares, there is in every church the world over those who think they believe, but they do not believe. Lord, there are those who think they know you today, but they don't know you because they've never really made a commitment to you. Lord, let us not be head knowledge, but a heart knowledge that one day we'll be going home to be with Jesus. Lord, we pray for the soul who's never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today would be that day. We pray for the Christian brother or sister who is fallen short of your glory, that they might take this opportunity to come and to pray and to ask you to forgive them and to repent of that sin and to put it away from them by the power of your Spirit that lives within them. And Lord, we pray for those who need to join this church. You've been speaking to them for some time, and Lord, there's no better day than today to become a part of this family of God. And so, Lord, we just pray for your grace. We pray for your mercy. Search our hearts as we sing this last song together. And may your people respond. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you'd rise to your feet as we sing, Sister Jenny, what's the number of it? 290 this morning. If God has spoken to your heart, you come. I'm going to be speaking about rebellion. And of course, we know that our land is full of it today. Amen? And so let's come and hear what God's Word has to say about the rebellious times in which we're living. And Brother Buddy, if you'd close our service in a word of prayer, I'd greatly appreciate it.